one day.
Grace and peace be unto you. A very blessed good day. I am the Reverend Anderson Kelman, and once again, I am so delighted with you for this morning's program. It's the first Sunday in the month of December. And of course, I know that many of you are getting ready to celebrate Christmas Day, maybe with family or friends, or perhaps this year you're not going to cook, you're probably going to go to maybe a restaurant and spend the day. But whatever you plan to do, I trust that it will be a wonderful day. But I also want to remind you to remember that it is not just about the celebration. That's important. It's also about the Christ child, the fact that God in his infinite love and mercy to mankind sent forth his Son as the perfect sacrifice to redeem humanity from sin. And so as you celebrate, remember the reason for the season, and that reason is Jesus Christ. May God grant us all an excellent season as we serve him and as we continue to love and praise him. Now, I just want to inform you of our Golden Square celebration. It's on December the 14th at 5 p.m. It's entitled Hope Has Come. As you know, the Church of the Nazarene has been staging this particular presentation for a number of years now. And so this year, in conjunction with the entire district, they will be having this wonderful presentation, Hope Has Come. And so I want to invite all Nazarene, all friends of Nazarenes, the entire Because It Lives family to come out and to be a part of this presentation. We believe that God is going to use it in a very mighty way in the heart of the city to minister to individuals who need to hear the word of the Lord. So December the 14th at 5 p.m., Golden Square, Hope Has Come. Also, I believe that by now you must be in full gear for our centennial celebration. The launch occurs on January 11th at 5 p.m. right there under the tent at University of the West Indies. And we want to again remind you to make a special date to be there. As the older folk would normally say, 100 years is not 100 days. And God has been so gracious to us to give us the opportunity to be at the turn of the time in terms of we have the privilege of celebrating 100 years. There are many persons who would have labored, but they would have not been able to see this very, very monumental occasion, event. You know, they would not have had this experience because maybe they have died and gone on. And so they would have given their work to the Lord through the church, but they don't have this privilege. And we have it. We can celebrate 100 years. And so I would want us all to grab this opportunity and to make sure we are present at the launch, July 11th, at the tent by the University of West Indies. We believe that God is going to use this service in a very mighty way. So make sure you get your transportation in order. I'm sure that many churches may want to hire buses, or you know, you may want to get a maxi taxi or some other, you know, transportation to bring you there. I know it's in the evening, so some persons don't drive at night, so you may want to carpool or get a friend to drop you. Whatever you need to do, start doing it from now, because we are anticipating a grand time as we pack that tent and allow God's Holy Spirit to give us direction as we seek to refocus and to reframe the needs of the time so we can minister more effectively in this age and also set our church up for wonderful ministry in the years to come. So please be a part of that launch. We are really, really looking forward to every Nazarene being there. You know, those of you who would have been Nazarenes before, those who will be current Nazarenes, and those of you who are friends of Nazarenes, you know, fellow denominations, sister denominations, we would want everyone to be there so we can have a good time. We've made adequate provision for seating, and so we really would want you to be there to experience that launch. 100 years of preaching heart holiness. May God bless us as we embark on that wonderful time of celebration. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8 to verse 12. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy before all the people. Today in the tongue of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Heavenly Father, give you thanks even now for your word. Illuminate your word, Father, for us. May your word become incarnate in our lives. And may your word, Father, lead to transformation in our behavior and our character. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you know, this text is centered around a census that was given by Caesar Augustus. He issued a decree for a census to be taken. And it took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And so everyone went up to register. And Joseph also went up with Mary, his engaged wife, from Nazareth to Galilee. They were planning to be married, but they were not yet married. And while she was there, she brought forth her firstborn, a son. So you can imagine, of course, the kind of angst that they may have experienced, knowing that, you know, Mary was unwed, but yet she was expecting a baby. And I could very well imagine the kind of scorn that would have been attached to that whole event. And then, of course, the reasoning behind it, you know, that Joseph didn't do anything wrong. What was in her was through the Holy Spirit. Now, that would not really have flown as a good reason for her pregnancy, but certainly it was the truth. And sometimes the truth is hard to accept, but that was the truth. But even at this point, they encountered even further dislocation because she was pregnant, she gave birth, but she didn't have the comfort of a room in the inn. She gave birth in a stable, and the baby was laid in a manger. Seemed as though there was one challenge after the other. And I kind of wonder, you know, about the whole idea of being born in a manger. You know, not being born in a nice room or space, but being born in a place where animals would gather around to drink and to eat, being born in a manger. That's no place for a king to be born. But it also reminds me, though, that where we are born does not determine our destiny. Our origin does not determine our destiny. And sometimes persons, you know, struggle with where they were born, where they were brought up. They struggle with the fact that when persons see their names and their addresses on an application letter for a job, that chances are that where they were brought up will work against them. I've known persons who have, you know, used other addresses because of what was associated with where they were brought up. And so I just want to, as an aside, say to all of us, though, that our origin does not have to determine our destiny. And even though sometimes persons may judge us based on where we were born, truth of the matter is that we don't have to accept nor subscribe to persons' judgment of us because of where we were born, because God can turn things around in our lives. Now, the Word of God says to us that after the child was born, angels appeared to shepherds who were out in a field, and they were keeping watch over their flocks by night. And as we know it, shepherds were not persons of any high esteem. As a matter of fact, they were the outcast of the society. Shepherds were deemed as thieves and liars, and no one would accept the testimony of a shepherd because of how they were seen on the social pole. You know, they were at the bottom. They were not persons of any kind of repute. And so the angels appeared to the shepherd. And that has a very striking, you know, message to all of us, because our God does not deal with us based on how others perceive us. Sometimes even based on how we perceive ourselves, because as we think about scripture, we think about persons like Moses, you know, who, as far as he was concerned, he was no great orator. And yet God made him a significant, as a matter of fact, he became the greatest lawgiver, you know, the one who God used to lead his people out of captivity, a very high and holy calling. He was no great orator. Or Gideon, who said, you know, I'm the weakest of the weak, you know, my tribe is the weakest tribe, you know, we can't do this thing that you're calling us to do. But yet God used Gideon in a very powerful way. Or Esther, you know, who was a foreigner in the king's court, but yet God worked through her for deliverance of his people. And so I want to suggest to you this morning as you, you know, as we listen to this program, that the God that we serve, you know, he's no respecter of how persons may see us, or even we may see ourselves. As I said before, if God wants to use us, once we are available to him, he will cause great things to emerge from us and through our lives. And so the angel appeared to the shepherds as they were out in the field with a message that today still rings true for many of us. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will be for all the people." And I believe that that's important, because what the angel was saying to the shepherds is that, to you shepherds who are not given any significant place in society, to you lowly shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy. And this message is true for those who may see themselves as being the low points of society, those who may have found themselves in situations of poverty and it seems as though that there's no way they can emerge from their situation, and somehow they feel a bit ashamed and even rejected. This message is for you as well, or for the one who may have gone to prison, you know, and been rehabilitated, but no one gave you a chance because of the record you have. And you go for a job and they say to you, well, the vacancy has been filled, because when they hear or they become aware of your record, they don't want to have to employ you. So anyone who finds themselves in a place where you feel alone and maybe a bit outcast by society, I want to say to you that the God that we serve, that you serve, he can bring and make a difference in your life. To you, shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Christ chose the shepherds as the first point of depositing the message to let them know it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, you can be one that God can use for his glory. Today, this day, in the city of David. And Luke, being the historian he was, wanted to establish historical accuracy of this particular event. You know that some persons still question the authenticity of Christ's coming, but we know that this has been attested to by several historians, that one named Christus was born on this particular time period. And so Luke establishes the historical significance of Christ's birth. He says, this day in the city of David, which is a fulfillment of several prophecies made centuries before, that Christ would be born in David's line. And Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one who will rule over Israel, whose origins is from of old and ancient times." So Luke was making an alignment here as he wrote in the book of Luke, you know, that, you know, Jesus Christ is indeed a historical figure and one who we can see in the pages of history, who was born, who came to earth as the Savior of the world. This day, instead of David, a Savior. And a Savior is one who rescues us from some dilemma or some issue. The dilemma of humanity was sin, the sin which had entered the human race because of Adam's, you know, deviation from what God had planned for him. And because of Adam's sin, all became sinners. But Jesus Christ was sent forth as a Savior to rescue humanity from the ravages of sin. And I believe that the God that we serve, he understood our reality. Even though we had hurt him when we sinned, yet he recognized that the only way we could be restored and reconciled back to the Father was through the man Jesus Christ. We give God thanks this morning for his gift, a Savior. And I like the way how James Rowe puts it, you know, the imagery he uses in this song that was penned in 1912. He says, "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me, now safe am I." And this gives the metaphor, the sense, the picture, the imagery of one who is drowning, who is sinking, and who has taken their last breath, sinking to rise no more. But then the master comes and rescues that individual from the ravages of the sea, and in this case, the sea of sin, and lifts him to a place of safety. But one of the things which we need to also realize is that the master can come. If you don't accept his helping hand, if you don't receive him as a Lord and Savior, and then we will drown in our sin. A few years ago, I was conducting a seminar, and there were some persons there who were in the business of life saving. And they said to us that they had the experience once of, you know, going to someone who was drowning. And as they got to the person and they began to effect a rescue, the person said, "Do not touch me." And they said they could not touch the person because even though they were drowning, they had the right to refuse help. You know, it's only after that they began to go unconscious, they were able to effect the rescue and to bring them in. So we've got to be willing to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Even though we may be sticking in sin, he's not going to force us to respond to him. We have got to make the decision to respond to the hand of Christ if we desire his salvation. "For unto you this day, in the city of David, a Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord." And this speaks to the dual nature of Jesus Christ, being fully God, yet fully man. And of course, some of us at times struggle with that reality, but the scripture says it, and therefore it is true for us. We not fully understand all that is entailed, but it's what scripture says. He is Christ the Lord, a unique identity, the anointed one sent forth by his Father, but yet he is indeed fully God. He came to earth to be the Messiah, the rescuer for all humanity. You know, John says that there's one coming whose shoes I am unworthy to unloose, the laces. You know, he will baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. You know, and that's the God that we serve, who sent Christ as being the perfect sacrifice so that we can be reunited to the Father. And even now, as I reflect on Christ's entrance to this world, I think about the difficult days when he came to earth. You know, I think about the 407 years that preceded his entrance, you know, where there was such great anarchy on the earth. And Christ came and brought peace, you know, where there was chaos, a sense of hope, where there was hopelessness. And even though in our own times that rings true, for we need someone who will come and bring and change the order of things. He says, he is Christ the Lord, the one who came and died, the one who hung on the middle cross, so that we can be redeemed. He will bring you peace. And peace, like I said to you, was a very important ideal at that time. I spoke about the 400 years, the 400 years of challenge and difficulty. And Rome had kind of created a deal called the Pax Romana. It was a kind of a peace treaty. And for the next 200 years, Rome was able to have some semblance of peace. Yes, there were insurrections from time to time. There were a few skirmishes. It was not a perfect peace, you know, but yet it was more peaceful. There was political and imperial expansion by Rome during that time. But that peace was very transactional. The peace that Christ gives to us is perfect peace. It's not transactional, because Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. So his Holy Spirit imputes peace to every believer who receives Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's a peace that the world can never understand. It's a peace that causes us to be at one with God and with self. It's a peace that leads us into a place where we feel that deep sense of harmony with Almighty God. But there's also a peace that should give us the motivation to love our brothers and our sisters, to be able to resolve any issues that might arise in our lives. It's that perfect peace that should cause us to understand the bond of peace that the Word of God talks about, and so be able and willing to resolve issues in a particular context, whether the context is a church or family or work, the peace that God gives to us should create for us the kind of urgency to ensure we live at peace with all men wherever possible. And so today, as we reflect on this very important scripture, the Word of God is saying to us that Christ came to bring us peace at a very troubled time. And as we look around our context, if there's ever a need for peace, it is now. As we look at all that's happening in our country, the murders, young men being shot down, you know, the stabbings, we need to have that deep sense of peace, because I believe that the foundation of a lot of what's happening is person not being at peace with themselves, but being at peace with God. And so today, I want to say to everyone who is listening to this program that we can have peace with Almighty God if you're willing to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And the Word of God says, "Was the shepherds return, rejoicing, giving God thanks for all that they had seen and heard." It transformed their very disposition from being shepherds, always in the field, being outcasts, to persons who were rejoicing in the goodness of God's message to them. We too can rejoice at this Christmas time if we are willing to allow Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of our life. If we can experience a peace that surpasseth all understanding. And so what are the takeaways from this morning's message? Well, there are four takeaways. The first one is that our origin does not determine our destiny. Where we are born does not determine how high we can rise in God. Secondly, we do not have to accept the definitions of the world about us. Jesus Christ sees us as his special people, and he can bring the change that we need to fulfill his purpose and his plan. Thirdly, no need to fear when God is with us. God can grant to us peace even in the midst of the storms of our lives. And fourthly, Jesus is the one who brings us peace and joy. Because of him, we can face every tomorrow knowing that God is indeed a wonderful and a great God, and he will help us to make it to win. And so this morning, friends, believers, I want to remind you that Christmas is a message of peace and joy. Jesus Christ is the one who imputes peace and joy to us. But we must be willing to accept him as the shepherds did and allow him to be Lord and Savior of our lives. Shall we pray? Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise this morning. We honor you. You are the God who gave us Jesus Christ as the perfect sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, this morning that we can be reconciled to you. And so, gracious God, we pray for peace even now at this time, Lord. There have been so much trouble in our nation, Lord. So many deaths of young people, young men in particular, Lord. So many upheavals, Lord. And we pray, God, even now that, Lord, you will bring peace, not just at Christmas time, Lord, but peace throughout the entire year, Father. I pray, God, you will move amongst our people in a very special way, Lord. Let your name be praised and glorified. Let your people, oh God, who represent you, to be agents of peace, Lord, to this world. That wherever we are, Lord, we will seek to bring peace. Father, we give you thanks even now. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a beautiful day. God bless you. Bye-bye.